Proverbs chapter 1. And this is almost, we've not covered every topic that's in the book of Proverbs, by the way. Even though we've spent a significant amount of time and dedicated Sunday nights largely to the book of Proverbs, there is a lot still unearthed from the public proclamation from the book of Proverbs. It's my expectation that the book of Proverbs has been unearthed in your home and in your own private readings of the book. And you've examined it and you've read it. Many of you, I know, have read it multiple times in your lifetime. And it will be my hope that the book of Proverbs will always stand as any word of God does, any book in the Bible does, a significant part of your regular reading of the text. Whenever I gather my family together in the evenings to read Scripture, to pray together, if I personally haven't read my proverb for the day, I follow that pretty typical, consistent methodology of today being the 16th, that I would read Proverbs 16. Nothing magical about putting it along that kind of a schedule. It's a common schedule that many people have practiced for many years. And I encourage it. And so if I haven't already read Proverbs 16, it will definitely be what I will read with my family in the evenings, along with other pieces of Scripture that we just open up and read. But I think it's valuable. I think its value surpasses age. This is not a book only for young people. It's written to young people, but it's not a book only for young people to get value out of it. And so I simply want to exhort you and encourage you to continue to unearth the value and the treasure of the book of Proverbs in your reading of the Scripture. So this is not complete full circle, but I'm going to come back to the beginning place of this phrase in the book of Proverbs that's repeated frequently, and that is the fear of the Lord. So in Proverbs chapter 1, and it's the first time that we come to it in the book of Proverbs, is the 7th verse. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. And you're so familiar with this verse. You don't even need to be looking at it to know what it says. You're that familiar with it, most likely. But are you familiar with what's around it? I think that's important. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. So here it is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So there it is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What I want to do with that phrase this evening is to consider the paradox of other pieces of Scripture. So here we're told to fear the Lord. In other pieces of Scripture, we're told, do not fear. So what do we do with that? How do we balance those two? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and do not fear. I know that some of it has to be dealt with. Well, what's behind the word fear? And we've spent some time. Steve spent some time in those early weeks as we were going through the book of Proverbs and exploring this phrase, the fear of the Lord. And we know that word fear carries with it not a trembling fear of, oh no, all the things are falling apart. And God, where are you? It's not that kind of a fear. It's a respect. It's an awe. It's that kind of fear. It's a fear that does include standing in awe of someone and an amazement of someone, because of their strength and their power, because of their dominion of all things, that you would fear that person. You would fear the office that that person holds. I think ways that we could parallel these things to, certainly from a child's vantage point, especially a small child, to his father, there is a natural God-designed respect, fear. The child's done something wrong and mom said, wait till your father gets home. There's a natural fear. What do you mean, wait till dad gets home? What does that mean? Well, he learns quickly what that means. And he doesn't want to hear those words ever again. So that kind of fear is involved in this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The reality of who he is and the office of which he holds, the authority that comes with his name, bears a level of fear that's properly blended with respect and awe of who he is. And this is how we should treat the Lord. But one thing we don't want to do is strip the word fear of the meaning of fear that comes with tremble. It comes with dread. It carries with that word fear because it is, by definition, the word fear that gets translated for us in our English language. If we strip that part of the word fear off of it, we're going to miss some of the significance of why the translators use the word fear to put here. Obviously, we have original language that we need to consider, and it's going to carry all of this. It's going to carry the definition, the meaning, when it's used in this manner, of respect and awe and that's due to one of great authority. And at the same time, a position of dread that if I do not obey this person of authority, there will be consequences. It carries dread with it. And it's a proper, respectful position of fear. But what do we do about other places in the Scripture that says, do not fear? Well, let's consider them. Let's think about them a little bit. The first one, maybe because it's Christmas season, or because it's just a good example, or maybe both. Let's go take a look at Mary real quick. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and I want to begin reading in the 26th verse. And read most likely all the way through to the 38th verse. So, as familiar as you are with this story, and I don't think it's possible, but I'm going to ask you to listen to it as though it's the first time you've ever heard it. While I'm saying I don't think that's possible. I think there's no way I could do that, because I've heard this 100 times or more. But listen to it with great intentionality. Listen to the descriptions that are placed here. Listen to Mary's response. Listen to what's being told to her. And listen to her reaction. So this is the 26th verse of the first chapter of the book of Luke. And I'm going to check with Dylan real quick. All right. Dylan, have you found Luke chapter 1 yet? You're looking at all the pages. That's good. Your mom's going to help you find Luke chapter 1. Okay? Because that's where I'm going to read from. And I want you to see that these words are in your Bible as well. Okay? Now listen, when you look at his Bible, you're going to want to do what he's doing right now too. You're going to want to look at every page. So Dylan, it's Luke chapter 1. And it's the 26th verse and following. I'm going to go ahead and begin reading from the 26th verse. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee called Nazareth, to the city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, Gabriel said to her, "Greetings, favored one, The Lord is with you. Verse 29. But she was very perplexed in this statement and kept pondering the kind of situation this was. So the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." So there's an announcement. "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she has been called barren, is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible for God." And so Mary said, "Behold, the bond slave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. It's likely you're very familiar with this announcement to Mary of what's about to happen. So from Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." And to this announcement that comes to Mary, the whole of this announcement ought to cause great fear, trembling, dread to fall upon Mary. You've heard this 100 times. Have you heard this announcement from Gabriel that he's telling Mary? You are going to bear a child from your virgin status. You will conceive a child. And this child will be born, he'll be called the Son of God. And from this status, the angel Gabriel says to Mary, "Do not be afraid." I think, what a necessary statement to be said to Mary in this announcement, as this announcement comes to her, for great reason to consider. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Do not be afraid, Mary. Perplexing, paradoxical, because one's saying fear and the other's saying don't fear. Great reason for consideration. Why would this angel say to Mary, "Do not be afraid"? Especially in relationship to the announcement. You, Mary, don't you love the way Gabriel describes her? Favored one. Can you imagine the Creator of the universe making an announcement that you are the favored one? That would crush us under the weightiness of that kind of announcement all by itself. And then this announcement is going to carry with it the weightiness of the child that she is to bear. The very Son of God Himself. God incarnate. God inhabiting the form of flesh among men. And so this angel. And so I just want us to see and be reminded of that in consideration of Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We see in other places, there's these 14 or 15 passages in Proverbs that uses this phrase, the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, which carries with it respect, awe, dread, fear, tremble. Everything that the word fear needs to carry with it, we do not want to strip it of its meaning. And then yet here, the announcement to Mary, "Do not be afraid, O favored one." What an announcement. Well, let's look at Joseph. Matthew chapter 1. How many times have you read the nativity story, the circumstances around this? Chapter 1 of Matthew, beginning in the 18th verse, and I'll just read through the end of the chapter again. Read and listen to it. Follow along with it with this respect. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Just keep that in mind as you hear these words and as you consider these statements. Now the birth of Jesus was as following. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. Verse 20. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall give birth or shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. We're so familiar with this text, and I would hope that you are very familiar with it. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The Lord sends through a vision, through a dream to Joseph, a message from an angel of the Lord. And his first part of the announcement is, Joseph, do not be afraid. So some of the question that I ponder on this is, why is he telling him not to be afraid? If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and the word fear that's being used in Proverbs 1:7 carries with it everything that the word needs to carry with it, respect, awe, dread, fear, tremble, shaky. If it carries all of that meaning, then why in a circumstance like this does God say to a man like Joseph, as he did to Mary, do not be afraid? Part of the answer to that is the word afraid is handled quite differently than the word fear. We have a Hebrew language and we have a Greek language. But actually, the longer I studied this and the more I considered this, I also found them to be quite similar. Where again, you sit and you look and you consider this announcement to Joseph. I appreciate that Matthew tells us that Joseph was a respectful man. And to use the word righteous does not mean he's perfect, does not mean he's godly in all of his ways, doesn't mean he's not in need of a redeemer himself. It's a phrase that the Bible uses to describe a man who walks his days in the fear of the Lord. And so in that position, knowing that he loves this Mary that he's about to marry, he loves her and he cares about her, and he doesn't want her to be in disgrace in her community. He plans to send her away. And that while she's away, that she would grow, the baby would grow inside of her. It would be obvious to the place, to the people around where she's at, that she's pregnant. And everyone in their village knows that they're engaged to be married. And so with great respect for her, he wants to send her away so she doesn't have to endure. I mean, he knows that he didn't impregnate her. And I appreciate the fact that he's not accusing her of being promiscuous. Can you just imagine the kind of fear and dread that would sit on a guy like Joseph? The longer I studied Mary, Joseph, and we're going to look at one more encounter where the announcement is to do not be afraid. It seems as though along the way, in the longer, broader examination of this, in the comparing of this paradox, this what seems and what appears to be a paradox of statements, one being in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord, which comes with it with the implication, we ought to be afraid of the Lord. So we got to deal with that in the language. Afraid means avoid. If you're afraid of someone or afraid of a circumstance, you're not sure how it's going to end, and you're not sure what to do about the circumstances around it. And that's not what Proverbs 1:7 is implying. It says, in the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's implying that we ought to be approaching God in this demeanor, in this way. So it's not, I'm afraid of the Lord, and so I'm going to avoid the Lord. It's I am afraid that in my unrighteous condition, as I dare approach righteousness, how will I dare survive this? Oh, dear God, have mercy upon me. That kind of fear, that kind of respect, that kind of awe. Slightly different with Mary, Joseph. Some of their fear is not necessarily immediately directed toward the Lord. However, I think it's included in that. It appears that some of the announcement to Mary and to Joseph is, do not be afraid of what men think of you. This is my plan. This is my purpose. Do not be afraid, Mary. Something is going to happen to you that has happened to no other woman and will never happen to any other woman on all of the planet. In all of history or at any point in the future, this will never happen to another woman. Mary, she needs to hear this. Do not be afraid. Do not avoid me. Do not take plans into your own hands and decide what to do. Do not be afraid. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So Mary, walk in fear of the Lord, but do not be afraid. Do not avoid Him. Do not change His plan. Do not even attempt to do so. Joseph, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Walk in the fear of the Lord. Walk in an honorable way. Walk in a way that displays this glory to the nations of the world. Joseph, do not be afraid. Do not avoid my plan. Do not try to subvert my plan. Do not find another way to handle this unknown circumstance. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Do not be afraid. Do not avoid. One more look. Luke chapter 2. The second chapter of Luke. So keep it in mind here. This is all being framed from Proverbs 1:7. And an ongoing examination of the book of Proverbs and a consistent phrase repeated periodically throughout the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 and following. Again, part of the Christmas story, probably, likely, very familiar with this. And may I say, of the nativity story, this one is my favorite. And I know every time I say that I feel as though I shouldn't say that. Or I even many times later on will say, I think I may say that about everything I read out loud. This is my favorite. I don't know if I say it that often or not, but I think many times, well, Paul, you've certainly overused that word in that description. But and as I've shared before, when I use that phrase, I don't mean it to imply I prefer it over every other piece of Scripture. I just like it. And I like this a lot. I like the circumstances, I like the surroundings, I like the setting, and I like the outcome. Chapter 2 of Luke, beginning with the 8th verse. In that same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were terribly frightened. The angel of the Lord said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem. Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry, and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about the child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondered them in her heart, and the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. I'm not the first to make note of and mention of. Certainly you can imagine. You're out minding your own business, doing your job, away from your family, on duty, on call. And right there in the midst of your doing your duties, it all gets interrupted by a great announcement. I think our reaction would be similar and akin to the shepherds, of great fear. Suddenly, Luke is one of these descriptive writers. He loves the detail. And when he says suddenly, he means suddenly. These shepherds were doing whatever shepherds do. I have no idea. But they were doing shepherding duties. Apparently it's night and it's dark, likely chilly. Cool. This is distracted, but it's probably not December 24th. That's a side note. But likely they're just out doing their job. And suddenly, stood before them the glory of the Lord shone around them. And their reaction matches every description that we find in Scripture when man is put in presence of the glory of the Lord. Isaiah identifies it as being stricken with great fear. Peter's described with his own words as being dead before the Lord. These shepherds are responding in the same kind of a manner. "We're suddenly standing before them, the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terribly afraid." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I think what's being described here fits the word fear of Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. The shepherds, we don't know anything about them. We have no other history of these guys. We don't know if they practice their religion. We don't know if these guys are just flat out pagan. We don't know. We can speculate and we can develop some kind of a philosophy all around it. We just simply don't know. But we do know this. Regardless of where they were before this moment, we know where they are at this moment. And they are stricken with the fear. They are in the presence of the glory of God. And they do what any man should do when faced with that similar circumstance. Stricken with fear. And then comes the announcement from the angel. Do not be afraid. It's a paradox. We are instructed to approach the throne of God with fear. And then if we approach it with any other methodology or any other direction, we're missing God. So we come into the presence of God with fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning knowledge. Then once we get there, it's consistent, at least with these three individuals, Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds. The next word is, don't be afraid. This is all normal. This happens. This kind of thing happens every day. Don't be afraid, which it doesn't. I'm just saying that's kind of the paradox that's staged in front of us. You're one moment minding your own business. The next moment, an angel of the Lord appears to you and says, "Don't be afraid." He's telling you that because he knows what's next. Fear that's going to drive. Unless it's properly corralled and handled and stayed upon the glory of the Lord, that fear will eventually become avoidance. You know as a child, when as we've already expressed this, when as a small child, and your mom says, "Your behavior has not been well today, you need to wait until your father gets home." There's immediate fear, and then it's coupled with avoidance. I don't know that I want to know when Dad's coming home. And maybe it's of such a level, I'm okay if he never comes home. It's that kind of fear. But see, if you take this into relationship with how we handle the Lord, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If we do not understand that our actions warrant judgment, then we'll never approach God properly to begin with. And then, as we do properly approach Him, unless we're kept secure in the love of the Lord and in the direction of the Lord, we're going to want to begin to avoid the Lord. And we're going to want nothing to do with Him because we know we're guilty. And I don't want any part of that judgment. I want to get away from this as quickly as possible. I don't care about mercy. I don't care about grace. I deserve what I'm going to get, and I'm not going to be anywhere around to get it. I'm going to avoid the Lord. I'm dangerously close to too much speculation with what's happening with these shepherds at this moment. But when the presence of the glory of the Lord is immediately upon them and they're frightened, it's necessary that this angel says, "Oh, listen, guys, let me hold you in here. Don't go. Don't run scared. Don't get out of here and begin to avoid what the Lord wants to say to you. The Lord has good news He wants to share with you. The good news, you shepherds, who most of the community doesn't really care about you, I have good news for you. The Redeemer has been born. There's good news for you, shepherds. You stand guilty before the holy God of the universe who will properly judge you. Do not be afraid, dear shepherds. Your redemption is nigh. Do not be afraid, dear soul. The Lord God Almighty wants to save you. Now I have this announcement for you, and here's where you will find this redemption. You'll find Him in a manger down there in a little insignificant town of Bethlehem. You find Him in a manger. You know the manger because that's where you start your work day and that's where you end your shift next week. You know the manger. You know where it's at. When you get there, you're going to find Mary and Joseph there. And you'll find a baby. And this baby is unlike any other baby. Do not be afraid. The Lord's got this covered. He's got your sin covered. He has you in mind. And He has great news for all of mankind. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Do not be afraid. Do not avoid the Lord in His announcement that is for us. So what I love, what I've loved so much about the book of Proverbs is this kind of paradox. We see one part where it says this great warning to behave like this, and then you find in another piece of scripture, they're not conflicting words, they're complementary, and they support the whole of approaching the Lord in this way. So that's why I commend to you, and we'll continue to commend to you, the value of reading the book of Proverbs. It's valuable for all of your days. Please do not dare treat it as a book for young people. It is. I would encourage any young person that I could find to read it and to invest their life in it. At the age of 46, I see this book becoming a greater and greater treasure. It's not increasing in value. I'm just discovering its value to be more than I thought it was. And it's so, what a beautiful thing to be able to take even just a small phrase that's repeated multiple times in the book of Proverbs, and we've looked at it a couple of times. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, / wisdom, as it's described in other places. But do not be afraid. Listen to the Lord's instructions. Follow them and obey them. And then be a heralder of the gospel. Do not be afraid as you approach the throne of Christ with fear. Paradox? It's not a paradox in my mind any longer. It's sweet and good and precious. So Lord, we're thankful for Your Word. We're thankful for this good reminder. And Lord, certainly, while our days are consumed with the visual and the audio sound of Christmas, may we look at some of these details of this nativity story with great intent. Consider the surroundings, consider the events, consider the circumstances. And God, help us to piece together the glory and the beauty of this Word of Yours. To see its complementing, to see its weaving truths together. Maybe on the surface they seem to be at odds. But the longer we examine it, and the more we submit ourselves to You, then the boldness of these words are no longer conflicting, but they mesh together perfectly. Well, there's so much more to discover. And we want to be very intentional to do it in the book of Proverbs and in all of the Word. Help us to be faithful examiners. Help us to behave like the Bereans, who read and study. And then, dear God, help us to be like these shepherds, stricken with fear, given words of confidence to not be afraid, and then to go boldly announcing the gospel. So help us, dear God, in that way. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Let's see.
Can you imagine? I don't know if I can imagine.